From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. A magnitude 5.6 earthquake struck about 58 miles southwest of Unalaska on Sunday afternoon. Many locals felt it, including in Nikolsky and Akutan. Alaska Volcano Observatory geophysicist John Power says the quake probably isn't a precursor to another seismic event. He notes that the quake was quite deep, with current estimates around 24 miles. Deep earthquakes don't usually bring a lot of aftershocks, Power says. He told KUCB that earthquakes like Sunday's are frequent in the Aleutian Chain. He says the quake was, quote, pretty big, but not unusually big, end quote. Nearby volcanoes Mikushin and Okmuk are likely to be affected by the quake, according to Power. And on April 1st, Anchorage will hold its municipal election, and half the seats on the assembly are on the ballot. Regardless of the outcomes, residents can expect at least four new faces on the body, because four current members are not seeking re-election. Voters will also decide on two school board seats. As Eagle Crest Ski Area faces ongoing financial hardship, city officials continue to hope the gondola will one day make itself sustaining once it's up and running. In the meantime, Eagle Crest may need to borrow more money from the city to fix a broken chairlift and increase wages. On top of that, low snowfall means that it still hasn't fully opened for the season. Kirk Duncan, a former Eagle Crest general manager, wrote a financial review of the city-owned ski area for the Juneau Assembly. He presented it at an Assembly Committee meeting of the whole on Monday.
I've made many assumptions, and it's up to the board to determine whether they're going to modify those, accept them, not accept them, whatever.
The report is part of a broader analysis to provide a timeline for how Eagle Crest could become self-sufficient, instead of relying on the city for financial support. Duncan said the ski area has seen similar hardship before. Last year's sudden change in leadership and the potential financial loss this winter are reminiscent of a rough few years Eagle Crest faced when he was manager 20 years ago.
That gives me a really good feeling of optimism that there's good potential for turning things around. One of the questions is, how can we quit doing this, you know, needing to turn things around?
And his report did suggest that, with a few different ticket prices ranging from $45 to $85 per ride, the gondola could eventually create revenue the ski area could then reinvest in winter operations. Duncan's report offered a myriad of recommendations for how to both cut costs and fund upcoming costs for maintenance and operations. This season, the Black Bear lift is down and needs to be fixed or replaced. Along with other maintenance fees and services, Duncan estimates that the ski area could see an additional $750,000 added to this year's budget. Eagle Crest Board Chair Mike Satry says he's pleased that Duncan's report matches many of the board's earlier projections about the potential future revenue of the gondola.
It's just great that the report justifies everything that we've done to purchase the gondola, get into a partnership with Gold Belt to install it, and make this happen.
And while he says the costs may seem like a lot, he thinks it will pay off in the future.
But in a sense, this is like any business. This is our startup expenses before revenue can be booked.
The city spent about $3 million to purchase and import the gondola in 2022. Since then, a $10 million loan from Gold Belt has paid for expenses. So far, $5.8 million. But city manager Katie Kester says $2.5 million in city funding is earmarked for the project. Satry said the board plans to start offering biweekly reports to the assembly on the state of Eagle Crest's finances. That's after Duncan's report said that many of the ski area's issues can be traced back to a lack of oversight and communication. Satry said the board will present their funding needs to the assembly for consideration. And Eagle Crest announced today that it will open more of the ski area tomorrow and this weekend. Delta Airlines pulled bookings for summer flights to both Ketchikan and Sitka from its website earlier this month. That leaves Alaska Airlines as the only major carrier in the two communities, as it is in much of the state. Alaska Airlines has since told locals the move won't raise airfares. But as KRBD's Michael Finelli reports, the presence of even one competitor typically drives down prices.
It's a fairly intuitive principle of economics. Competition in a marketplace tends to drive down prices and drive up the quality of service. Customers want the best, cheapest products. So if you plan to stay in business, you'll have to offer at least a comparable price and quality to your competitors. During a Chamber of Commerce luncheon in Ketchikan after Delta's confirmed departure, Alaska Airlines representative Scott Haberstad spoke to the quality part, saying he was actually disappointed to see his competitor go.
I love the fact that Delta was here because competition makes you better, right? Really does.
In terms of pricing, though, Haberstad was adamant that losing Delta would not affect the cost of flights in and out of Ketchikan, a point he reiterated during a phone call after the event.
We have not changed base fares, nor do we intend to change base fares, right? I mean, we're committed to serving the community.
Since 2015, Delta had been offering once-daily flights connecting both Ketchikan and Sitka to Seattle during the busy summer travel months. As the carrier has expanded its hub in Seattle, it has increasingly challenged the dominance of Alaska Airlines in its namesake state. That competition has meant lower prices for customers. So wouldn't removing that competition lead to higher prices? I put that question to the self-described Alaska Travel Authority.
Does that seem plausible to you that this won't affect fares?
No.
That's Scott McMurrin, longtime publisher of the Alaska Travelgram newsletter and travel columnist for the Anchorage Daily News. McMurrin tracks the price of Alaska flights for a living, and he says each time Delta has entered a city previously dominated by Alaska Airlines, prices have dropped. And since Delta pulled its seasonal flights in Ketchikan, McMurrin says Alaska Airlines prices already look to be substantially higher for the upcoming summer than they were last year.
Sometimes it's important to just understand that when there is a monopoly in the market, prices drift up. And this is not exclusive with Alaska Airlines. Delta does the same thing. All airlines do the same thing.
But Haberstad insists that even having regained their monopoly status in Ketchikan and Sitka, they're not raising their price structure. Many factors affect prices, and Haberstad says that the increase customers may think they're seeing could be due to sale pricing.
It's possible that there was a sale fare in the market, a special sale fare for some reason, when you were looking at it, and there may not be a sale fare today.
Haberstad says the company will continue to advertise sales in its weekly newsletter. As for Delta, the Sitka and Ketchikan flights apparently just weren't getting enough passengers to pencil out. In a statement sent to KRBD, a Delta representative said that those aircraft are being reallocated to Bozeman, Montana, a market with strong year-round demand from Seattle. The airline is continuing to expand in the state's biggest cities, however, having recently added a new route from Fairbanks to Salt Lake City and Anchorage to Los Angeles. In Ketchikan, I'm Michael Finelli.
And you're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Marianne Call and Lisa Puananani Mohala Ikalani Denny are putting together Juno's Alaska Music Summit. It's a chance for anyone who's a part of making music in the region to come together and swap ideas.
I'm Marianne Call. I'm the program director of Music Alaska.
I'm Lisa Puananani Mohala Ikalani Denny. I am the project outreach coordinator for Music Alaska for the Juno Music Summit. I also did a little volunteer coordination for our summit up in Anchorage. The summit is a gathering of music-minded people across the state of Alaska. There are three of them, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juno. And it's like a convention for people in every facet of the music industry to come together, to network, to share our perspectives, and to connect with each other and level up together.
The Music Summit was started about some years ago, but this is the seventh one. And we're really excited to see every year more and more people who are in different parts of music making, like people who do booking, or people who are DJs, or people who make beats, or people who write new operas, or people who are teaching preschoolers, right? All these people serve different roles, but sometimes don't have the chance to really talk to each other, even though all our fates are very connected. So the Music Summit makes space for this to happen. And it also gives us a chance to intentionally try to make our music ecosystem better, because it certainly nothing happens if we don't try together to make it better. And when we do try to make it better, amazing things happen. We'll also be talking about money, about what musicians earn, what they're paid, how to make the money work, how to make it work well for the venue too, how to have a successful event when you're trying to make sure that people are being compensated what they're worth.
We've reserved one small segment to hear from the perspective of the bartenders who tend to be viewed as on the fringes of the scene, but they play such a crucial role in a lot of music events, especially like in downtown Juneau, where they're helping run a lot of that show.
I think that'll be great. I think nobody ever asked the bartenders, hey, which shows work but I think they have specialized knowledge about that. Possibly the most important part is when we simply free the room up to everyone just talk to each other, right? Talk to someone you don't know. Talk to someone you haven't talked to in a long time. So at lunch and afterwards and the next day at office hours, that's really when it happens. We're trying to kind of build bonds between the most distant corners of the music community. Like if you're as far apart as you can be in the music community, if you're playing heavy metal versus performing like 11th century chant, or if you're like teaching preschoolers versus performing with seniors in a community choir, like no matter how far apart we are, all of our fates are tied together. And this is our opportunity once a year to try and make sure that people see that connection and value it.
I am an independent musician in Alaska, and I wasn't that before I came here. And Juneau is such a fun community to be an artist, a performer, a musician in, because we are so supportive. We're so all about it. You want to try something? Do it. We're going to support and applaud you.
That was Marion Call and Lisa Puananani Muhala Ikalani Denny talking about the Alaska Music Summit. The Juneau Summit is Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Devil's Club Brewing. You can register at alaskamusicsummit.com. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 35 degrees and overcast. Tonight, there's a winter weather advisory in effect from 9 p.m. until 3 p.m. tomorrow. A total accumulation of 3 to 5 inches of snow is expected. Then that turns into a winter storm watch Wednesday night, and that means we might get even more snow. Throughout this period, temperatures range from the mid-20s to the mid-30s. Thursday night, it's expected to get cold and clear, with temperatures around 10 to 15 degrees. This weekend could be in the single digits. You're listening to KTOO.